school vote through July 2017. Reestablish your quorum.
Connie Bridge, present.
Stu Martinez, present.
Tom Ward, present.
Don Brier, present.
Trenton Tennant, present.
And Dennis Scott, present. Added agenda items. Corey?
We do have one added agenda item. It's sort of two added agenda items, but I think we can cover it under one, which is the industrial park. An update on the marketing video that Mandala put together, as well as a ballot that the city received as a property owner in the business park for the repeal of the CCNRs that are subject to the industrial park. So we'll talk about those.
Okay, according to our attorney, we got to agree on this to have an added agenda item. Can I have a motion to add this item?
I make a motion to add the requested items by Corey.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, good. Add agenda item on the industrial. Public comments? Anybody have anything else there to say before we get started? Nothing? Okay. Consent agenda. We hope everybody's looked at it, and I'm going to go over this. It's approval of minutes, reimbursements, financial records, and it's an amendment to the city manager's contract, which is a biggie. Is that correct? Okay. Does everybody have any objections to this, or looked them over, or changes, or recommendations? Nothing? Do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
A second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. On to number six. Public hearing to adopt ordinance number 2017-07, an ordinance vacating the alleyway between block 1 and block 2 of the first addition to La Pine in the city of La Pine, Deschutes County, Oregon. And this is going to be open to public hearing. This is a public hearing now. Corey, Tammy, can you explain a little bit about that first?
Yes, about the ordinance?
Yes.
Yes, and I've got this presentation, so I'll step through a number of different items and then can answer questions on it as well. Right now we're talking about two blocks. This is the one that's addressed as the 51680 Pangro Street. This one is not addressed at this time. It's tax lot 500. You can see that's the number for it here. So we're talking about two tax lots. As you can see, there is right now an alleyway. It's a 15-foot wide alleyway north-south that runs through the middle of this tax lot. This is a result of a 1912 plat. And I'll show you the picture of that. It's kind of fun to look at from 1912.
That's before the Deschutes County existed.
That's before the county existed. There's a lot of handwritten notes. I'm not sure who did the plat. It may have been the railroad. And they're tiny plats in there.
I'm going to say there's a map of this that everybody has.
There is a map probably in your packet. I'm going to show it here in a second. The one thing I want to note is that there will be a series of different applications on this on these parcels. Right now, tonight, we are only talking about the alleyway, just the vacation of the alleyway. Because that alleyway was on the original 1912 plat as right-of-way, it is public right-of-way, and the petitioner, who is here and will make some comments, is asking the city to vacate that right-of-way so they can have full use of their parcels. This is the old plat map from 1912. You can see that this is oriented differently now. This is north to the right of the screen. But these are the two blocks that we're looking at, just in different orientation. So you can see the alleyway again shown on this plat. This is block 2 and there's block 1.
So are they blocks or are they lots? Between the two.
Right, so the way the 1912 plat designated, you can see this little tiny 1 in here and 2. Mm-hmm. So the plat is designating them and calling them plots or blocks. We have a number of different terminologies. The ones that are shown here, these are tax maps for the county. What's shown on the plat Again, the one and two are the blocks, and then the small partitioned off pieces, those are the legal lots. That's another issue, and that's a different application, and we can definitely talk about that, but I don't want to convolute the issue. So when we're talking about, and you see in the legal description, block one and block two, this is block one, and this is block two, and that's the legal language we have to use because that's what's referred to and labeled in the plat. It's just a closer up view of those two tax maps with the alleyway highlighted. Again, this 15 foot running down the middle of those two parcels. These tax lots are owned both by the same property owner. The general process we followed is outlined by Oregon statute 271.080, and that really regulates the notice requirements. So noticing and getting consent agreements from utility companies and from abutting property owners, and there are very specific time frames that are associated with that. So I'm just notifying you that the city did follow that process. And notices were posted on site at both ends of the proposed vacated alleyway. And the conclusion of the process is the council hearing and a vote on the ordinance at the end, whether to vacate the right-of-way or not. Just a recap of the notices. They were sent to the property owners, utility companies. The applicant received consent forms from all of the utility companies. We do that to verify that there are no utilities in that public right-of-way. And we've received approval from all of them with no utilities out there. As well as Public Works, Planning Commission, and the Fire Chief. You do have a letter from the Fire Chief that I'll talk about in just a second. Just a repeat of mostly what we said earlier. Signs were posted on sites on the city website as noticed around town, and here we're here for the hearing. I'll digress momentarily. Has everybody had a chance to read the Fire Chief's letter? Okay. What I want to note on that, and we can discuss further if you want, is that he brings up some, I think, important points about the area, and just about some of the rural areas of Lapine in general. I will note that it doesn't really relate to the alleyway vacation. It relates to Pangra Street, we've started discussions with the building official and the fire marshal out of the county's offices that will work with the property owner during the building permit process to remedy the situation. There are a lot of alternate building standards that can be applied and rural fire protection standards that can be considered, and the jurisdiction on that lies with the county building official at the building permit process time. So I want to make sure that we note that these are important comments for us to consider and for the county to consider in the building permit process, but from staff perspective, it should relate to the specific issue at hand tonight. But I can definitely answer more questions on that if you want.
Okay, look, I assume there's somebody here with the public that wants to...
Sorry. One note, I do want to note in the ordinance is a condition. I just want to call it out because it's not just in every standard ordinance. There is a road, I'll move forward. There's a road on the northern portion of the subject lot. It's called Hale Road. Right now it's a dirt or gravel accessway, but there is public right-of-way assigned up there that even predated the plat. The applicant surveyor is researching that right now. We do have a legacy roads map that shows it as a 60-foot right-of-way, but there are not really great survey records out there from over 100 years ago to document it. So they're doing some research. So the condition in the ordinance is simply to guarantee that right-of-way is maintained, so that this vacation of the alleyway doesn't in any way interfere with the reservation of that right-of-way for the city that we already should have on the books. And then I put in a recommended motion for you to use or modify as you feel appropriate.
Okay. Now, all right, open for public comments first. Is there anybody here?
Yes, sir. My name
come
is...
Up, come up
right here?
Here, please. Just for the record.
All right.
On the Just state your name and address.
My name is Michael Hess. My wife and I, Amy, purchased this property, 516 A. Pingra Street. We're just to give you guys a heads up, all we're trying to do is that easement is going right through the center of the property. Of course, that's right where we were going to build a house and a shop. We're just trying to get rid of, you know, that 15 feet is just seems to be right in the center of where we're trying to accomplish our task at hand. James and Casey Hayes to the south of us, which was on the map, they had to go through the same protocol years ago, probably before Lapine was a city. And they were able to vacate that easement and build their house and go through that also. Anyways, I've been here 40 some years. I work for the power company, been there about 18 years. We're just looking to build a nice place. It's kind of a unique spot. For some of you guys, you've probably never even been out there. It's solid trees. It hasn't been touched in I don't know how long. There's nothing out there. So it's one of those areas that you would never go to or even see from the highway or anything. So we're just hoping to build a household and raise my family and go from there. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to me.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Any staff comments? Corey? Any other public comments? Anybody have anything to say about this? Okay, we'll close the public hearing then. And let's start with you, Don, Council.
First of all, when that property is vacated, who gets the property? Is it split on both sides of the?
So the property owner, I'll go back, I turned it off. The property owner, Mike, that just spoke, owns both sides. This is actually a single tax lot. So when it's vacated, it would go to Amy and Michael Hess, the owner of both sides of that property.
Then on Pingra Street, what's the right-of-way on that street?
Pingra has, it looks like about 58 to 60 feet. We need to confirm that on some of the survey documents, but it's a pretty significant right-of-way on Pingra.
Thank you.
Karen?
That was two of the questions that was curious. Okay.
Sue?
That just goes to show how old the pine really is. Is some of the maps that we have to go back and research. I've been through this process a couple times personally. And they're just I feel they're trying to do everything the right way. And part of that is the process that they're going through now. And I think, we just need to support it and proceed forward with their request.
I guess my only concern was whether or not they were trying to subdivide that property.
That's a great question. I'll go back to the. It technically it's already subdivided. So if they wanted to, and zoning ordinances would permit it, they go in there and they've got 12 lots here, and I can't see the little numbers, 18 to 20 of them here that are technically still legal lots of record. What they're actually trying to do is the reverse. And that's the administrative process that is occurring simultaneously that I referred to. They've requested a consolidation of these parcels here so that they have a single legal lot of record. Because right now, if they went into the county and asked for a building permit to put their house on this property, they wouldn't be able to do it unless they were on one of those little tiny legal lots, because it's still a legal lot from 1912. So, within the day, we will have a decision as well from the administrative side approving a consolidation of this block one. They have not decided yet or requested any applications on block two.
And what's the size of the properties?
The resulting property or the little tiny ones?
The little tiny ones.
They're anywhere from 35 feet wide to 50 feet wide and about 125 feet long. So pretty tiny, 4,000, a little over 4,000 square feet to 7,000 square feet.
Tammy said that well, that they're doing the reverse. I think it's a good way to put it. The other piece that I'd throw out there is that the city does not have water and sewer infrastructure to this part of the city. This is across the Long Prairie Slough. It's kind of basically due west, northwest of here. And so they were contingent on getting septic approval, and they did get septic feasibility and approval from the county. So they'll be on a private septic and private well because the city does not have infrastructure over there. So in terms of putting multiple lots or density, really it's not feasible.
Well, that's what my concern was, is that they were trying to, or if the purpose was to divide that and not have an alley behind that many homes right there, that's a concern, so.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great question. As Corey already pointed out, the infrastructure, water sewer would be certainly the biggest challenge.
Okay, I'd like to know, what's the slashes over here on this site? Is that law, or is that
over here?
Somebody else owns that whole thing?
Eric, do you know the answer to that?
That process already happened on those properties there.
They've already gotten rid of
the lot lines.
Okay, so that one street is already gone. I don't know the name of it, if they're Jeremy or something.
This here.
This one?
Most of those streets don't exist.
Well, they don't exist except
the right of ways there.
The right of ways and stuff, yeah. So what's going to happen to Beach Street? Is that the same thing? Is going to want to get rid of Beach?
A lot of that is in wetlands.
Yeah, and we're not doing anything. This only deals with the alleyway, not with any of the actual road.
I'm just looking for the future.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know, what's going to happen in the future?
Oh, that's a good question. Don't know.
Yeah, I think that is a good question. I think that's not a discussion probably for the
group. Because usually when something happens like this, it builds, you know, like the two lots down from Cascade and Beach, you know.
Could happen. Yeah, that could happen. I mean, again, I would, you know, there could be some folks who buy lots and go through this process and put single family homes on there. Not very many. None of these roads are included in the city's transportation system plan, and clearly Deschutes County in the last 100 years didn't do anything with them, really. So we're not really in a position to say they have to be this wide or they need to be improved or this or that. That's an interesting bridge.
But on the other hand, you know, when you have a full street width like the Cascade Street or the Hale Road we've got there, ideally you want to keep the main streets in right-of-way because you don't know what you might want to do with that right-of-way in 50 years. But in this case, we've got an alleyway that's splitting a tax lot that's owned by the same property owner. So I would interpret it as a little bit of a different situation, but your point is well taken. You know?
And I can understand our fire chief being concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can too.
And I, you know, I don't know what your time schedule is or anything else, but you know, he's been a main player in the city. I just don't want to negate his thoughts or his concerns. I think we ought to reach out to him somehow. You know, he addressed this to me and council members. You know, he's doing his job.
Absolutely, and I did want to make that very clear. His point is very important, and we have already started a discussion with the building official, with the fire marshal, and copied on Chief Sepkus. There will be a much larger discussion around that as to how to address those issues.
I just don't want to do something against his concerns or recommendations. That's just my thought. The council could do whatever they want. But I just, you know, there's been hard feelings in the past administrations and stuff, and I don't want something like this to cause it. But on the same time, I don't want to hold you up. You know his concerns. If your house caught fire, he wants to be there.
Yes, sir.
So I think, it's just my thoughts, I think we ought to reach out to him one more time and just make him a player and talk to him and then do something. You know, before we pass it.
Well, Tammy, I think what Tammy said earlier, just to reiterate, is that this application at hand has nothing to do with the concerns that the chief raised.
Exactly.
Tammy already said that communication chain has already been opened between the building official at the county, Randy Scheid, and his assistant, Chris Gracia, and the fire chief, and the city to coordinate on the chief's concern.
As long as he knows, we aren't underscoring him in any way whatsoever.
And we can definitely reach out and have that communication with him to make sure, and to continue that conversation quickly, so it's not pass the ordinance and drop the conversation, but it's a continue both of them at the same time, so that issue is not brushed under the carpet. Absolutely.
That concerns me, is getting an emergency vehicle through there if we don't have wide enough streets. We need to have a street that's wide enough that can accommodate a fire truck. And another thing, there's not going to be any fire hydrants out there, so it's going to have to be a truck with water on it to fight fire. And also, he said he's going to build a shop there, and when you have a shop of some kind, the chance of accidents go up. So you need to have the availability of ambulance services out there too. So we need to make certain that there is access to the area.
Absolutely, yeah, and I'll reiterate that the applicant has not submitted their building permit at this point, so we actually have no record of exactly what's going out there as far as the house or the shop. We've had conversations with them to be better informed in the process to start the discussion early, but where that review really comes into play and hits the road is when that building permit is submitted, because that's when the building official and the fire marshal get the opportunity to weigh in on that review. So I can assure you that the building department at Deschutes County, who reviews all of those, won't issue building permits until this issue is satisfied to state law and to the fire marshal and building official's satisfaction.
And on a side note, there's no commercial intent out there, but if it's a commercial structure, they go through a site plan process with the city. Because it's residential, we don't have an application process to review someone putting a single family home on it. It's Deschutes County.
Well, I certainly don't want to withhold the individual from having a chance to build on his property, but the safety concerns, actually, it's for his benefit that we're talking about safety concerns, because it appears like he's going to be building his property on the end of the street there just about. So, I mean, we need to be concerned for him, too, but I certainly don't want to withhold any approval from him to get the building going, because we want him here, I'll put it that way.
Okay, anybody else?
Mayor, may I say something again, please?
Sure.
I just wanted you guys to know that Jake Russell, he has already built a gravel road all the way in to access this whole back corner, which in the past it was a road that was not even usable. So there is a 10 to 12 foot wide gravel road, brand new, already to access this very back corner, which has never been there before. So in my mind, I mean, we've got more access back there, which we all know if a fire were to start in this corner back here, yes, it would have to cross the slough. But it's coming this way. Jake, and with all of his hard work and everything, has allowed access in there. We can widen out the right-of-way. That is not an issue. I'm not concerned with that one bit. In fact, my intent was to make it wider to allow more sunlight in there, snow, etc. We've been doing so much other stuff.
Right.
I wasn't realizing we were going to run into this problem.
Well, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
And absolutely, I do.
And you have to have the okay from the fire marshal. We don't want to,
And I completely understand that.
Okay.
But I just, and like I said, I've been here forever. There's a lot of places in Lapine that you're hauling water to go put a fire out, right. And it's almost all of Lapine.
Okay.
I mean, so I don't see what's so different about this.
Well, when you go to get your permits and stuff for the county, you're going to have them sign off.
Yes, sir.
So.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But there, as of right now, there is good access, maybe not quite as wide as the fire marshal would like. I promise you trucks can fit down that road. Mr. Russell takes his dump trucks, his heavy equipment down that road daily.
Okay.
It's a good working road, but we can certainly widen it out and to make it more appealing for the city fire marshal.
The council have any questions for the gentleman once you're here? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I move for the city of Lapine to vacate the alleyway east of Pender Street and south of Hale Road as described and conditioned in ordinance number 2017-07 that intersects blocks 1 and 2 of the first addition to Lapine.
I second it.
First and second on, this is our ordinance, we got to take a roll call vote. Connie, go first.
Connie Bruce, yay.
Stu Martinez, yes.
Karen Ward, yes.
Don Greiner, yay.
Unanimous vote, ordinance passed. Thank you all. Good luck.
Okay, thank you guys, I appreciate your time, thank you.
That one was different.
A little different.
Okay, let's move on to number 7. Ordinance 2017-6, an ordinance to protect, preserve, and promote the health, safety, welfare, peace, and quiet of citizens of Lapine through the reduction, control, and prevention of loud and reckless noise and any noise which unreasonably disturbs, injures, or endangers the comfort, repose, health, peace, and safety, or that causes public inconvenience, annoyance, or alarm to reasonable persons of ordinary sensitivity, providing penalties for the violation thereof, which is called noise ordinance. we talked about this at the last work session. There are, and Jeremy just came, I think it was today, with the changes that we wanted.
Yeah, there were some amendments at the work session. Council expressed that they wanted to see some flexibility on the weekends for construction within certain time parameters. And at the meeting then, it was expressed that between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on weekends, opposed to weekdays, which is 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's section 6.10. So there was some language inserted in there to meet that desired outcome. And then 6.14 on the following page, under the title Unmuffled Braking, that is in response to some complaints that City Hall's received in terms of Jake brakes being used by semis in residential areas. And so that was discussed at the work session as well, inserting that language into the ordinance. I did send this to Lieutenant DeLuca, and he responded back and said it looks good to him. So we got at least some exposure with the Sheriff's Department on their thoughts, feelings about the ordinance. They are the enforcing entity that's outlined in this ordinance. That's about all of that, sir.
Council comments, Don?
Don, I think we addressed one of the major points out here. Okay.
Karen?
Yeah.
Stu? Connie?
I'm good with the changes.
Okay, I think we talked about it quite a bit last work session, so it's not like we're taking it lightly, and I think Lapine needs it. So do I have a motion to, I'm not going to read this whole thing.
Just read it by title.
Yeah, ordinance number 2017-6, as you see it in your packets with the additions of 6.10 on weekends between the hours of 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And also 6.14, unmuffled braking, the use of unmuffled compression release, engine brakes, jack brakes, dynamite brakes, exhaust brakes, accepting emergency or exception to be used, a person operating an emergency vehicle is prohibited, regardless of the noise level. Do I have a motion to accept this we so call noise ordinance?
I move we adopt ordinance number 2017-6, an ordinance to protect and preserve and promote the health, safety, and welfare, peace, and quiet of our citizens in Lapine, known as the noise ordinance.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
First and second, ordinance. We also have to have a roll call vote. Connie, you want to start?
Connie Breeze, yes.
Stu Martinez, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Karen Ward.
Yes.
Don Breiner.
Aye. Okay, passed unanimously. We now have an outdoor noise ordinance. Yay, Brown. Okay, go on to number 8. Ordinance 2017-08, an ordinance of the City of Pine establishing regulations concerning vehicles for hire, which is basically taxis, Uber, various such things. And we talked about this extensively too at the work session. Corey, do you have anything to add to this?
Not other than just reiterating what Jeremy and Alan shared at the work session, is that this is sort of a template ordinance that they don't feel is perfect, but we're not really in a position to negotiate with some of these rideshare companies. Some minor trade-offs, but nothing that they felt was overly concerning for the city to not adopt it.
And for anybody out there, the four of you, is basically Uber is coming into the area, and every single city has to have an ordinance where they can work within the city limits. Any comments from council? Stu? Nothing?
Nothing you wish to share with us?
Come on. Don't keep it to yourself. Don? Aaron? Lenny?
Don has something to say.
When the time comes, we have an ordinance. That's the important thing.
That's right. They can work within the city of Lapine. Okay. Now he goes.
I'm trying to process. And it's not working. Just a question. In the future, when we are more populated, this covers taxis and anybody transporting a person.
For hire.
For hire.
Vehicle.
For hire, okay.
For hire, yeah. So it's actually the description of for hire is on page 30.
Yeah, I read that.
It doesn't matter whether it's animal-drawn vehicle, like motorized vehicle.
Or for bicycles.
You're going to want to...
Yep, pedicabs. It actually covers pedicabs.
Okay, that answers it. Thank you.
Okay, do we have a motion for this ordinance? Somebody?
I make a motion we approve ordinance 2017-08, an ordinance of the City of Lapine establishing regulations concerning vehicles for hire.
Second.
First and second. We need a roll call. Let's start with you, Don, this time.
Don Breiner, aye.
Karen Ward, yes.
Stu Martinez, yes.
Connie Graves, yes.
Unanimous vote by the council. We now have a vehicle for hire ordinance. Okay, now we're going to go on to number 9, staff report regarding the employees' handbook changes.
This is what we talked about at the work session as well, and just summarizing the bullet points that are outlined by the letter A through D on the staff report. Adding language that outlines the paid management leave that was expressed essentially as a policy in employment letters, but not actually written and included in the employee handbook. So that will be for exempt employees, essentially salaried employees who are not eligible for overtime. So instead, they're eligible for paid management leave annually. B is the adjustment to the on-call phone policy, both the compensation structure and the compensation amount for the public works utility worker, whether that's Jake or Johnny or Reed, now who's carrying the phone that week, how much they're compensated for that. We discussed that again as well. C, changing the holiday schedule to include 10 defined holidays rather than 7 defined holidays and 3 selectable holidays. So not increasing holiday amount of time off, not decreasing it, just making it a much easier task for staff, Ashley in particular, to track. That would be a welcome adjustment. And then finally was also just explicitly creating an employee complaint form. We had had one, but it wasn't an official exhibit to the employee handbook. It's referenced in there. So those are the four proposed changes at this time. There could be another round of these in the next month or so, but we'll talk about that in the next work session and see where that goes.
Okay. And then for anybody, this is all public knowledge, so anybody can come in and look at the handbook if they want to. And that goes for staff and council too. Okay, other matters.
On that one, yeah. If we could just get a motion to approve the proposed changes as stated in the staff report.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the changes in the employee's handbook.
So moved.
Second.
First and second, and all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye. Thank you.
Passed. Okay, let's go on to the added agenda industrial part.
So I'll start with holding these up and knowing that you cannot read them, but I can at least talk about them while I hold them up. This is a letter from Deschutes County to the city. The reason we received this letter in particular is because the city actually owns a lot in the business park, the Newberry Business Park. And as a landowner, as a property owner, we get a vote in the proposed repeal of the CCNRs that are subject to the business park. There's one set just for the business park, and then there's one set that covers the entire industrial zone minus some industrial land at the northwest corner of the industrial park, but for all intents and purposes, 95% of the industrial park. So this was set in motion because there are, the CCNRs were essentially not even known to property owners or known to the county or city for the last 15, 20, 25 years. It's raised some concerns from the SLED board, and we've discussed this prior. The city sent a letter to the county supporting the full repeal of the CCNRs in terms of barriers to economic development and really trying to streamline the process. Now that the city has, and I'm gonna, she's not here anymore, but Tammy, and by that I mean a city planner, a city land use code, the ability to go through a site plan process and influence development, that they have enough parking spots, landscaping, stormwater retention, sidewalk construction, all of those types of things. So we have that ability now. So as this is written, the repeal would remove all of the broader set of CCNRs and all of the business park CCNRs, except for an architectural review committee that is to be established, the way the letter's written, by the SLED board, three members. And they will have some say in, we don't know exactly how that's going to look, we're going to have to iron that out, but some say in the architectural look of what a proposed building could be in the business park. That's the way it's been set up for 15 years, although it's never been really, it was administered when Leagy existed, the Levine Industrial Group Incorporated, but when Leagy dissolved, it sort of got lost. So, my staff recommendation is to approve, so we actually get to physically check yes, vote for this, or no, don't vote for this, and then mail it back. So I'd like a motion from council saying you do want to move forward with repealing the CCNRs with our vote, or not to. And staff's recommendation, and based on the conversations we've had over what feels like a long time, 4 months, 4 or 5 months, is to repeal the CCNRs.
Any comments from council first? Anybody have any questions, comments on it? Okay, do I have a motion to accept and say yes that we get rid of the CCNRs at the industrial park?
I make a motion that we vote yes to remove the CCNRs.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimously?
Okay. Got it. We'll get this in the mail back to them. That's one vote. We'll know the votes are due by July 24th, which is a Monday, so we should know that week, essentially what the tally is.
And I just want to say this is a major step forward for the city to actually, for the first time, start developing that industrial park. Because these are actually a deed restriction. It's just another layer that didn't need to be in there. So we're moving ahead on that. So. That's a great thing.
And on the note of stimulating economic development, investment, job creation, all of that, can you queue up the video, Adam? So I want to share, the SLED board recommended the city approved a contract with Mandala, again, who did the branding initiative, to create a video. And can you turn the lights on? Or?
She said the radio.
All the way.
All the
way?
Yeah. Yeah, that'll help a little bit. It might even make sense to come, I don't know.
Once it's off.
I can forward it to you too if you want to see it individually. This is the rough edit. So showed it to the SLED board yesterday, got some feedback. We're about two-thirds of the way through the contract with Mandala, which means they essentially created this material, some other ideas for the campaign, but there's another third of the contract left for them to actually work with Ryan and or I potentially to get the message out.
Okay. This is basically it, except there's just a couple minor changes.
Yeah, I want to take any feedback you have, and we're going to share that with them. They're going to make some final drafts, and then we'll have a hopefully finished product in the next few weeks or month. So, okay, I think I've said enough. Did you pull up the Fireflies one?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Okay. There were multiple soundtracks. I think this is the best one.
Every time you get in your car to drive home, promise yourself that you'll find a better place to grow your business. Best time to make good on that promise might be right now. There's a place in Oregon that's got everything you need for a growing business and happy families.
Too bright.
There is no such thing as the word commute. In the distance between.
Oh.
What?
Well, that's not.
I don't know how that happened.
That sounds good.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's.
What'd you do?
I've never seen that happen. Did you download it originally or no?
No, it just showed up in the...
Oh.
Let's see if I can refresh it. It's been sitting there all afternoon.
Oh, that might have... Yeah.
There. Sorry, guys.
No worries.
All that hype for nothing.
Every time you get in your car to drive home, promise yourself that you'll find a better place to grow your business. Best time to make good on that promise might be right now. There's a place in Oregon that's got everything you need for a growing business and happy families. There is no such thing as the word commute. In the distance between your work life and your real life are measured in blocks, not hours. We invite you to take a closer look at a place where you can start or grow your business without the hassle or expense of other West Coast population centers. Bordered to the north by a population that is cresting 200,000, Lapine offers the perfect combination of a small-town friendly atmosphere, an active and involved community, a supportive business environment, and a haven for outdoor adventure. When we say family here, the whole town means it. We'll be surprised at how often people will genuinely ask, "How are you doing?" And when they say, "If there's anything I can do to help, you just let me know," that's not an empty offer. Lapine is open for business. We have a 330-acre industrial and business park with some of the lowest land prices in Central Oregon. Land in the park ranges in size from a quarter acre to 40 acres. It includes state-certified parcels, shovel-ready for building, complete with in-place curbside infrastructure, water, sewer, power, and fiber optic internet services. We also have a huge dark fiber capacity that you can tap into. And data centers, call centers, operations, light and heavy manufacturing are all local here. Currently, there are no transportation or park and recreation system development charges attached to any of these properties. And most land comes with healthy tax benefits for qualifying businesses. The great outdoors starts right here at the edge of town. People travel from all corners of the globe to get to the natural splendors of Central Oregon, and you'll be calling it your backyard. Destination skiing, fly fishing, mountain biking, and so much more are only minutes away. All you need to provide is a reason to be here all year long. Come see the benefits of living and growing your business in Lapine. We think you'll be surprised and impressed.
I
And we live here.
No,
wow.
That's
amazing.
See my hand feel there at the end?
So, what do you think?
Yeah. Make me want to move away.
Move away?
Some quiet little town.
That's
how old are his food going up? What do you think about it?
I mean, I like it. It's really well done. Really shows a lot of the like good things that Lapine has to offer. My brother was like, I don't know what it would be called, but he did that for Beaver Coach, where you supply and you do ads and commercials and that kind of thing. So I've been around a lot of that via production making, and that was actually, especially for a small town like us, promoting it, or a small town, is very impressive, and I really like that, so, yeah.
It is very well done.
Yep.
Karen, what do you think? Like it? Stu, you've seen it a dozen times. How come they got your house in there?
They don't.
That wasn't his company. That was our circuit team.
Those were your bad friends, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I did, there were, I made a suggestion about some music change.
Yeah.
You know, that just, I wanted some, like, AC/DC or... No, I mean, Thunderstruck, you know.
So, I have a question for you, Stu, because you heard the other music yesterday. Well, both of you did. Did you like this one better than yesterday's
this
music?
This was definitely better than yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's
yesterday's
good.
Was yesterday's like, that's why I had to say that.
Yeah.
Yesterday's
yeah.
music was pretty bad.
But I think we can...
Maybe even do better?
Do better, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Connie, what do
you think? I liked the video. I thought it portrayed Lapine very well. Some of the transitions in between the scenes, probably the roughest one was when they went to Crescent Creek. That neighborhood, or it just was a really rough transition in between the scene before it and that one. But
somebody else said that yesterday.
Go ahead.
There was the dark fiber.
Yeah.
Was discussed yesterday, and I think we're going to take that out.
Yeah, where it says fiber, where it says, you know, high speed internet, that's good, but when it flashes and shows dark fiber capacity, that was a bit of a miscommunication between the prior SLED director and the and Mandal, the agency. So we're gonna downplay that a little bit. Yeah, pull that out. The SLED board had a couple other recommendations yesterday as well.
Can we hear those?
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to share?
One of them was, you know, it's Sun River, Lapine, and you never heard Sun River. So that was one thing that was brought up, that we do need to at least mention Sun River because they are a partner, even though it was brought up that the city of Lapine is paying for it.
They ought to just say, yeah. I think they discussed that.
That they have a recreation nearby or something.
And Ryan has the script and he already changed it. I mean, right when they say, I don't know, you know, he rattles off,
to the
hiking and backpacking, this and that, then it's also kind of a, in the world renowned Sun River Resort or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, just to.
And for the ladies in the back, if you know, this Mandela, they did our, sure, say something.
I loved the video, it was great. My concern is what regulations are going to be for businesses in this business park? Do we have regulations? Okay.
Yeah, we've got
land
use code.
Okay.
Yeah, the industrial zone spells out what are allowed uses and what are conditional uses.
Okay.
And an outright use means that they can go in and they can do it without approval from the city. A conditional use means they need to come to the city and actually get approval before they do whatever that use is. And then if they're going to build a building, they have to go through a city process as well in terms of, you know, setbacks and parking and landscaping.
The city has all that already put in.
Okay, great.
Put in form.
So
it's just that
not too far away from.
Great. It's that these CCs and R's cropped up. A realtor approaches, say, "Hey, there's deed restrictions on that," and apparently nobody knew about it. So that's what we're trying to get them off of, so that the city can basically handle it.
Great.
You
know? We just had some concerns with the noise coming out of there and all the residential houses being affected by the noise and the. the wood chip mass, down family view, and whether you guys are taking any of that into consideration at all.
A lot of it falls into not the land use component up front, but the code enforcement element on the back end. And you know, before you said the noise, I mean, passing a noise ordinance, without the noise ordinance, there isn't the mechanism to say you're in violation of this code.
Will you be able to control that more with the ordinance?
With
in the industrial area?
Like to a degree, I mean, the...
It's like everything we're putting into effect now is just steps to take care of that stuff.
Yeah. My only concern, my only caveat would be that not to overpromise. I mean, the industrial zone is the industrial zone for a reason.
But at 5 o'clock in the morning, we live clear down off Mac. At 5 o'clock in the morning, you can hear them chipping, and it's loud.
Okay.
And I just want to know if you guys have taken that into consideration.
I've never heard of, this is the first I've heard of them chipping at 5 in the morning and then you can hear it.
4:30, 5 o'clock. For years, it's been going on.
So I would...
Since Quicksilver started that chipping.
So I would say work with us
okay. On
that, right. Staff at City Hall, and we can look into options. Yeah, I'd say the noise ordinance in terms of the sound is critical, yeah.
Okay.
You know, and as far as the city's concerned, we're just putting these things in as we go because they've never been there. You know, so since Corey's been there, there's been numerous things we've just had to catch up on.
Sure.
And that's partially what we're doing now.
Your chip problem on Family View, request a truck route.
A while back requested that they have a haul route out the other side down Russell.
That's a truck route.
Mm-hmm. So why are they using Family View?
There's not one in place.
There's no truck route in place.
But they use it as a truck route.
Exactly. They need to move it.
Right.
That's what I'm pushing for, is a truck route.
Over to Reed.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, I think we're moving forward big time on that.
Any other looking good feedback, suggestions?
Was that the only other comment from Sled? Was the...
Just the dark guard, the Sun River...
And the music.
The music.
The transitions.
That was
a major thing.
There may have been one other minor one, I can't recall.
Yeah.
Ryan and I are going to watch it again, Ryan, the new sled manager, and take the sled comments and see if there's anything else that we think should be tweaked. And then, like I said, we should hopefully have a final product, I'd say, in the next month or so.
Yeah, they're going to show it again. And if anybody wants anything changed again, Modelo will do it.
Yeah, there was some conversation, I think, at the SLED board meeting about maybe some new footage. That might be tricky because it was sort of expressed to me from Indala that the budget for the project has been used, although they're still obligated to and are going to uphold the remainder of the work that needs to be done in the scope of the contract. So I think if we went back and asked for more footage, that might be an uphill battle. But in terms of tweaking, they definitely know this is a raw edit. One thing, too, which I heard the most, I've heard it every time, but tonight the most, the little talking in the background.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what, they must have sampled the music from somewhere and didn't buy the rights, I don't know. So that won't be there, obviously, in the final edit. So
I heard that too.
Those types of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's talking to the whole
person? There's something to say something on a website right at the end.
Okay, moving ahead. Staff comments. Corey, anything else?
Public comments.
Did we skip that? Well, they've been talking. Okay, public comments? Anything else? I thought that was it.
I do have one more question.
Okay, go ahead.
Is there anything being done about weed control, like down Finley Butte? Because I know I spray the weeds along the fence on Wheeler, but is there anything being done about the bad weeds going down like Finley?
We've been partnering up with Deschutes County because they ultimately own Finley Butte, and they have been doing some work down with us. Absolutely.
On that note, why don't you tell them that they were down spraying?
Today?
Yeah.
So they sprayed the new transit site, 4th Street. They even sprayed City Hall where they were here, and then they sprayed along Huntington there near like the senior center, those pathways. Had them spray those areas today.
By our request. So we had to coordinate with them. Mm-hmm.
And that's in one of our ordinances, and we'll be next year enforcing that
a lot more than we have.
The actual property managers or property owners have to control the weeds out to the into the easement, that one?
I didn't catch that. You catch?
Are you talking about maintenance of landscape, adjacent landscaping?
Not just weeds in people's property.
Out to the street.
Yeah, I don't know how it reads in terms of, I don't know which ordinance you're referencing. There's one that talks about maintaining landscaping. There's one, I think, that just the general nuisance ordinance considers noxious weeds a nuisance.
It's just the sidewalk and landscaping.
Okay.
Basically, everybody's responsible for their own property. Of course, the city's responsible for theirs, too. It's like next year, everybody'll get picked up. The county was way behind this year because of the weather. They were supposed to spray down here 2 months ago, and they just haven't been able to do it. But needless to say, we're working on that. Anybody else? Okay, staff comments now. Corey?
I'm going to be working on a memo to all of you, so I'm going to start to try to incorporate some of my comments instead of at meetings and packing in a bunch of things, put some of it in that every other week memo. Was up in Bend a little bit this morning at the Oregon City County Managers Association, which is a good networking opportunity, learning opportunity, find out what some other cities are doing, communities are doing to deal with, you know, the same issues we are, or other issues that we don't have to deal with that I feel fortunate about. So other than that, not a lot of other staff comments at this point.
Well, Jake.
New employee started last week. It's been kind of a burden off my shoulders now that we got a full staff again for Public Works. It was not stressful in the meantime, but it's definitely made it a little more hectic only having two guys around, including myself, in the time of year where things really start picking up. And that goal of mine, just trying to keep moving forward, kind of had to kind of stalemate for a little bit, but now we're getting back on track, and I think this employee's going to really work out well. He's well received and seems to be hopping right in there and learning stuff really quick. So it's been a good week. I've been excited, and I think the staff can tell I've been pretty jovial the last few days, singing and dancing, coming to work. So yeah, it's been a great week. I do that anyway, so.
Tell them about the cemetery meeting.
Cemetery meeting, yeah, we had a meeting up at the cemetery with some members from Baird. Funeral home, we got some projects, some immediate projects and some future projects we're going to look to address up there. Some cleanup, some work on like a kiosk up there, like an informational booth where you can see a map of the cemetery, something that's not as outdated as what's currently there. We're meeting tomorrow to look at some of our mapping up there just to check with what they have, what we have, and what we want to do in the future, creating some new areas for the veterans. And just creating more space up there and just making the cemetery something to look forward to in the future.
Oh, great.
Yep, you guys are actually scheduled to do some work up there too, tomorrow.
Wonderful. Ladies, Holly, Ashley, nothing?
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to council comments. How old are student council person?
So I wasn't at the last meeting because I was at the FBLA National Conference, which I am so glad I attended and I was able to attend. It was really a privilege just being down there because last year I learned so much, and then that gave me the ambition to go and do things that most kids don't get to do. So I went and I did it because it can only benefit me, so I did. And so that was really cool. Definitely got to do some fun things. Obviously, you can't go down and have a trip without doing something fun. And definitely got to see family. So it was a really, really cool trip. So I'm glad to be back. I'm ready to get back now. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Don.
A couple things. One, the major thing I saw in the video that you played is there were times when the music was so loud it kind of drowned out what they were trying to say, so it would be nice if it was kind of toned down. But I thought otherwise it was pretty well done. One of the things that I'd like to compliment you for, Corey, is I liked the little page and a half notes that you sent us telling us what was going on and how things were going to be and the meetings that weren't going to be over. the 4th of July week and all of that. It was very informative. I liked it, and I think it's a real positive thing. I also appreciate the fact that you did get that letter off on that one parcel that I said something about. That's it.
Okay, Karen.
I think we're getting closer to our sign. I think it's great. That's something really to look forward to.
Okay.
So.
Oh boy. I think the city and some of the organizations had a terrific 4th of July. There were a lot of activities going on, a lot of people coming in and out of town. Parade was awesome. A lot of little kids in there, including our own Ashley's family.
Holly was in the parade too.
Holly was there. You know, it was a grand time by all. Then that brings us to our fireworks issue, which I'm asking the city manager and the mayor to put on for a work schedule discussion for next year. And I think we need to really consider working with our partners at the sheriff's office and the fire district to address an issue that's out of hand. And I think a lot of people can attest to that. So stay tuned. Other than that, it was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Not a lot. I think everything kind of seemed like July. A lot of stuff didn't happen. We didn't have COIC meetings, although I will be attending one. I'm on a special board with them as well as the regular COIC board, so I will be attending that later this month. But we didn't have a normal meeting because of the holidays. So yeah.
Okay.
Good meeting them.
Yeah, we got some good stuff. Okay, on to the mayor. I didn't realize how many events you have to go to on the 4th of July. Okay, I'm glad it's over. anything on ordinance enforcement, guys? Did we get anything done over the
code enforcement?
The nuisance enforcement?
Nuisance enforcement?
Yeah.
Is that another term for code
enforcement? Did anything done last month? Or?
No? Actually, if you... there's a signage change on the highway. I actually sent a couple letters in regards to some temporary, doing air quotes, temporary signs. They were rather permanent, but they're actually a temporary sign. They weren't a permanent sign. So it's some violations to our sign ordinance. So those were two code letters I sent out, and the one Don alluded to as well. On that note, real quick, probably will be bringing up with the Planning Commission next month in August some proposed changes to the sign ordinance. It does need to be updated, those types of things, but we'll get there.
Okay, great. I have to go to this Upper Deschutes Water Commission. It's basically an advisory board that advises the governor on what direction to take as far as water. And it's like they were the we're all for the spotted frog, and they're going through some transitions now where they're hand-picking their board members, and all the city mayors have got left out, so everybody's got to pick up the pace and go to these meetings. So I got to, I guess I was lax because the old mayor, they still had his name on it, so I wasn't even added, so... you got to cut the pace and go to that. That's tomorrow. Cocoa meeting. I'm going to go tour the biomass plant in Eugene. And then from there, and, you know, it looks like, you know, they're serious about it this time around. I'll comment on that.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt you, but you did remind me on that, the BioGreen biomass proposed plan. That was scheduled for the 28th. Is that a Friday?
I think it's the 28th. Thursday.
Thursday is 27th. Okay. So Ryan, the sled manager, is reaching out to their representatives to find out if there's some alternate dates too, if any of council wants to go. I know some of, there was an opportunity to tour last year this time. I went, Stu, you went, yeah. So I didn't know if anyone else was interested in going, but I can keep you informed as to possible dates, yeah, if you want.
Well, what it is, they have to plan way ahead of time for security purposes and all kinds of stuff.
They're operating and you're walking through.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I just go directly from there to the mayor's conference in Lebanon. So I'm going to go to that. And that's all it. Corporal meetings, all kinds of meetings. I'll let everybody know what happens. And that's it. Do I have a motion? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
See, I get up and go all the time.
See you next week. Bye.
Do I go too quick? Stu says I go too quick. He doesn't have, he doesn't have time enough to say aye.
Yeah, I gotta go work.
Corey, I'd like to go to that wild green over there if I can. We've got company coming that week, though, so I have to
double. I think he did the homework. Well, and I, Ryan's got a voicemail with Bob Grove.